Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Gamerland Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the spanker of that microphone, the KevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button,
Jump
Kevin.
And press the circle button.com to you.
Dot biz, dot all,
dot all. How come it was dot com and not like dot inc or something in the beginning?
Yeah,
dot incorporated. Like, why was that?
I don't know what made it .com.
Because it stands for commercial.
It's oh, like, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Did we go to the same university?
No.
Sorry, that's not.
I mean, we did, but just you were a year done.
I have a piece of paper that says I was there, and
yeah,
you have
but you also
credits.
Have one that says you cum laude.
I did.
Mia no finisce.
Which I thought,
how do you say dropout in Latin?
Like this. You have to explain the spank the mic bit before you let that before too far in the bath.
There are eight people who enjoyed listening to the show live before
one,
it
two, three,
went
four,
live.
Five, six, seven, eight.
And so right as the show was starting, Kevin's headphones weren't working, and I don't know what I did wrong. I
think it was just the analog connector.
It could like, be. It could well, be.
When I unplugged it and plugged it back in, everything was better.
Hello.
And so,
oh, now that's in my head. Well done.
So we were. Oh, why is this sitting here? Man, ADD, Justin, very much. So I looked over my shoulder.
As you said that,
so Kevin was.
There's nothing in here but us.
I know, but I thought I left the closet door open to the rack room
and heaven
the
forbid.
Rack room. It's a closet where I have three pieces of equipment in there.
All
so
racked.
Kevin said he was describing what he was hearing through his headphones, and he says, I feel like I'm spanking the mic.
Which apparently is adorable to people in chat rooms.
Which also may or may not be my fantasy football team name next year.
Oh, that is hilarious.
Mike Spankers.
Somehow that's much more suggestive.
I can't believe this hasn't come up yet, but my current fantasy football team is Murder Salad.
Oh, wow.
Because
that is phenomenal.
I can't take credit for it. Have you seen The Tick on Amazon?
No.
Oh, Kevin.
Turn it off. Kevin. Turn off the mics. Episode one.
You have to see The Tick on Amazon.
I do have
anybody
your Prime
within
login.
The sound of my digital compressed voice has to see The Tick on Amazon. It is so amazing.
Is it me that you didn't finish that sentence?
It is amazing.
If anybody in the sound of my digital voice, it is so amazing.
It's so amazing. You have to see it.
There it is.
You have to see it.
Am I that person within this reach of your digital
compressor? Yes, I think so. I mean, you're even shorter, so you should be seeing it before anybody else is listening to this.
I can kind of hear you without the compressed voice.
Oh, that's how loud I am. But yeah, I so good. And one of my favorite lines, which I can't remember off the top of my head right now, and I'm angry at myself, but he said, oh, maybe I can find it, is that he said,
just go home and Google.
I'm going to. He said, like a murder salad. And it just, I don't know why, but it made me laugh so hard. So let's see.
Well,
The Tick,
so
murder.
I play in a fantasy football league with my in-laws who love football as much as you love Murder Salad. Like, they know the sport inside and out. In fact, my sister-in-law wins the league routinely. And I get crushed, just destroyed, because they know the game inside and out, and they spend time like researching and looking and comparing. And so I've decided that I can't leave the league, because it's, you know, it's a family league and stuff, and this is how I connect with the in-laws. It makes me relevant. But I'm never going to be competitive enough to actually participate
on.
In. No. So what I do is I entertain myself by every week changing my team name. Now, this is like dropping the theater drama kid in the middle of the jocks room, because they literally don't know what to do with it. A handful of them find it amusing. So a couple of us play Magic the Gathering. So I'll change my team name to fight them with magic cards that I know they don't like +7/+11 Sliver Queen. That one got a lot of laughs. But my sister-in-law loves raw cookie dough. So I changed my name to raw cookie dough, thinking that then I'd be like, hey, isn't that funny? You're raw cookie dough. And she goes, oh, yeah. And then she sends me a half page wall of text about why she's not doing well and how everything went wrong at the beginning of the season. No reference to the raw cookie dough at all. It doesn't even compute to them, because they don't know what to do with it. They're so used to it. So my two favorites were playing the Cleveland Browns. One of the teams named themselves the Cleveland Browns. I became the Cleveland Ravens. So I thought that was pretty good.
That is good. That's good stuff.
And then again, when I played them again, I became the Believeland Browns in honor of my Twitch follower. So in Cleveland, they call them, that they're like true fans, are Believeland Browns. Yeah, because they believe
that messy to the that, mouth
that even though they're 0-11, that they can still make the playoffs. It's mathematically impossible. But the Believeland Browns. So last week I was the Believeland Browns.
I don't like Believeland. I liked everything else, but I don't like Believeland.
+7/+7.
I'm hoping that I found this, but this here is going to give you a little taste of the tick.
Hello, world. Is an epic tale rife with destiny, adventure, blood loss, and good against evil.
Well, look at you.
Impossible.
You're a superhero.
Good eye. I am the Tick.
Well, the truth. What do you bench?
No idea.
Can you fly?
Tech!
Good grief.
Destiny's on the line, Arthur. Accept the charges.
Is this going to be a long call? Could I sit?
Sure.
He's throwing a tire. It hit him.
How can I put this? Murder. It's just not cool.
Impolite! Quite a kick.
What the world needs now is us. Sweet us.
No. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is the good stuff.
I'm breaking a little bit.
It's so good.
That is
it's
his
so good.
Tickle.
Two bullets, point blank, and high voltage, plus a three-story drop, and look at you. You're as alive as a daisy.
Is it the suits that give them power? Is that
no.
the idea? They just
the,
have it?
The, you don't really know why, or at least at this point. I'm sure that we have fans of this show who understand the lore of the Tick and all of its ins and outs.
Mm-hmm.
But when you watch the TV show, you don't really find out why the Tick, what his origin story. In fact, he doesn't even know why he's there or who he really
is.
Yeah.
That was true to the other show that came out a few years ago.
Right.
Wait, is that not his voice? Is that dropped in? Because that looked heavily ADR'd.
No, that's him. He's like an international kind of comedian. I got to pull his name. Patrick Warburton played it on the old show, which is now available on, I believe, Amazon Fire. You can watch all of those. For a while, you could only see it on Crackle. But this guy,
which is obscure at best. Remember Crackle? Because no one else does.
Yeah, they're making a push because they advertise at our cluster on the radio station. They're making a push to come. Peter Serafinowicz.
There is a small chance that it's Crackle that where Sly Cooper, the animated series, will land.
Really?
That's the insider's guess on where it would go.
They're making a big push for content because
that would make sense. That and the Ghostbusters, the new rebooted Ghostbusters series.
We talked about. I think we had already talked about it in the show. Is that I recently learned that Netflix and Amazon are now kind of calling the shots within the industry because they have all the money.
Yeah, I believe it.
So there used to be a lull in production in the summer and winter time.
Sure.
Now, no more because Amazon and Netflix shoot whenever the hell they damn well please.
They're always on.
They don't care. Mm-hmm. And
they're like the Motel 8 of the industry.
They'll leave the light on for
you? It's always on.
Oh, it's always on. That's, isn't it Motel 6?
Maybe. How many motels are there?
I think at least 8.
Motel 14. We combine the 6 with the 8. The light's here somewhere. .com.
Well, there used to be 9, but then 7 ate it.
Wow. You are professional.
That's what happens when you leave the road, everybody. Right there. That's what happens. That's the kind of comedy you get when you take a comedian off of the road.
We should put you on the road, is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
We can do the show on the road. We've literally done a show from the road while driving. That was a good show.
Comic-Con or
on the way back from Comic-Con. Oh. It was good. We should do that again.
But yeah, check out the Tick. It's good that
okay, scene see you later.
In the courtyard or the grassy area or whatever is where he drops his murder salad line. And I'm going to go back and rewatch, which is not
how many episodes are there?
I want to say there's only 6 or 7.
Or 8? Is it 8? Is it 9?
There was 9.
But what happened, Justin? But what happened? What happened? Oh, I set you up. You knock it down.
7 ate it.
Oh, sorry, brother.
It's all right. So soon.
Pretty sure that's not how the joke goes. What happened to 9? 7 ate it. I don't get it.
That's how we got alternative comedy on this stupid joke. We flipped it upside down on its head.
That's what alternative comedy is. Oh, just taking jokes and ruining them.
Yes. Yes, it
I've
is.
Learned so much
the
today.
The old stand-up joke was alternative comedy where you don't go for laughs. Which wasn't too far off from the truth.
So true. And that's the truth about improv. I felt like doing improv for improvisers is like, see how I wasn't funny there? It was a character choice. My character isn't funny.
Oh, yeah. I do not miss that.
You know what's also not funny? The $10 I dropped for this ticket. Oh. That's not funny.
There's an improv theater place within like 3 blocks of my house.
What? Where? No.
Yeah, the
where?
LA Comedy Connection, I think is what it's called.
Oh, yeah.
And they do the improv there.
They do stand-up improv? They do improvisational comedy.
They do stand-up and they do improvisational
comedy. Let's get a set.
Well, here's what I'm thinking.
We'll do the show.
I'm thinking, if anything, that's what we do, a live show there.
Yeah,
anybody
yeah,
wants
yeah.
to come out to Los Angeles,
yeah,
and see us.
You would do it
there
over Flappers.
Live.
You have friends at Flappers.
Well, yeah, but it's harder to get into Flappers, sure. I would imagine. But listen to me, shit on LA Comedy Connection, like I'm somebody. Yeah. I don't know.
You're just, everybody to me.
That's all that matters.
Hello.
Let's talk about something real, though. I don't know if I'm blowing it, but we talked about something that I purchased.
Yeah, I was going to do that after the break.
After the break. So after
you know,
the break.
By the way, there are no commercials on our breaks. I don't know if you know that.
They have to be there eventually.
Well, they're not there now.
Here's the thing. If you are not hearing any commercials, please send me an email.
Everyone
or
I've talked
give us a tweet or something. So it's not just your wife.
No, yeah, yeah,
because
yeah,
the only
yeah.
one that told me was your wife.
Yeah, no. No one is hearing commercials.
Well, we're a new show.
Yeah.
And
are we getting
sure
paid for this? We're
not paid. Unless there's commercials being played. I got to be honest with you. If there's no commercials.
What if I start selling stuff right now? Guys, Christmas is coming.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what Amazon is? It's a website.
Mm.
Go there, buy things.
Tell me more.
Amazon will give us money because you give them money. And maybe we'll get a TV out of the deal.
I wish. That'd be great, too.
What else are we doing today? We got to play Stumped. I have a good question for our callers.
Oh, really?
Somebody maybe other than Matthew can call this week. It's going to be great.
Probably not.
Gonna be great.
What if we do this show for 10 more years and the only person who calls in is Matthew?
He will still not get a guest credit. He will always just be a caller.
I think if that continues.
Long-time listener, always caller.
I think I would, because I could remotely make him a call screener. You know what I mean? And then he could screen the calls and then deny everybody else access to the show, and then he's the only caller.
The problem is he'd be the only one calling, so he'd be screening himself.
I feel like we got a, we also, there's a Jimmy in there.
That's true. Jimmy has called in.
It'll drop by.
Which apparently Jimmy's in my guild. So if Jimmy's listening, I'm sorry, Jimmy. I didn't realize that you not only play Guild Wars, but you're in Planet Pluto, the guild. And we need to play.
Like I like that I'm your best friend.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And yet he is closer to you in this game that you love playing.
Well, he's in the guild, but we don't play together.
Because I'm very jealous.
All right, well, you should play Guild Wars.
As a gamer, I get very jealous.
Oh, well, Jimmy and I play all the time.
You what?
All the time. In fact, we're probably playing later tonight, if only you wanted
to. What time?
10, right after the show.
What time is Price Close?
Yeah.
Wait, I could probably purchase this game online,
you
right?
You could download it right now.
Oh!
You should. Okay, bye. Goodbye, guys. Oh, thank you, Jimmy. Jokes like you could play with Jimmy, too.
I feel like we also have been putting off, and maybe I'm introducing too much too late in this first segment, but the putting off talking about the Auroville. We can't. Oh,
I'm not watching it.
You're not.
I've given up. Let's talk about the Auroville and get that dead meat out of the way.
Because you're not watching it. Hated the episode one.
I stomached episode one. Here's my initial reaction, and I've been excited for the show since before it was announced, because years ago Seth MacFarlane went on record saying I would love to be the showrunner for the next Star Trek series, and he outlined of like detail characters with huge seven season long arcs, you know, developing the universe. I was like, this man is someone who understands Star Trek and really has a passion for it. I thought, yes, I would absolutely love to watch a Seth. I know he's, you know, butt humor guy, but he has a very rich understanding of television and is a very smart person. And I thought in the right place, he would be able to do it. He even said, though, in the interview, he's like, no one's going to give me the keys to that car. So when the Orville came, I was like, oh, he figured out how to do it. Harkening back to that interview, he's like, well, then I'll pitch my own show. And
he
we'll make
a kit
it,
car.
Yeah. He's like, I'll make it funny, but it'll be true to science fiction. And I could see it. I was like, man, this is going to be a win, 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 win. And so we watched the first episode. And I was like, okay, but it's a pilot. It's a bit rough. And the second episode, same thing. I was like,
What made it rough? Was it the comedy or?
I feel like what I initially felt like is there were too many voices in the creative room. That what I got the impression was that he had his idea for the show. And this is all speculation. And so I'm just a viewer, but you asked my opinion. So it felt like people came in from the side within Fox and said, yeah, but it needs to do this. Yeah, but it needs to do this. And that pulled it in a direction that it wasn't supposed to go, that he didn't write kind of know what to do with. And so it just felt like there were too many things going on. So
I've watched every episode, and I would agree with your assessment, but I would add to it that I think that they said he wanted to make a Star Trek like series.
Yeah.
And they said, yeah, but you're Seth MacFarlane, so it has to be funny.
Right.
And so he's like, okay, well, there'll be funny moments.
Right.
Because my favorite part of the show, and I hope it's not some executive who's ruining it for him, my favorite part of the show is when they do a Seth MacFarlane kind of joke where it doesn't necessarily fit.
Mm,
like where
like
it's,
what?
I'm trying to think of an example. Like if there was a B storyline in one of the episodes recently where one of the guys was teaching the AI or, you know, android-like life form on the show
how
to do a prank.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so like he just kind of set it up at the beginning, and then like two thirds of the way through the episode, the guy wakes up and he's missing his leg.
Oh, that's funny.
And then he comes in, he goes, my leg, it's worth my. And then he goes, and he knew it was the guy. He goes, what did you do with my leg? He goes, I surgically removed it. And he goes, why would you do that? He goes, because it was a prank. It was supposed to be funny. Like, is this not funny? And he goes, but that's my leg. He goes, well, you, the doctor could grow another one for you. Like, it's, like
just, that's funny. And
it
that's
was
good.
Great.
That's a good, like, extension of data humor of somebody yeah. not getting it, pushing it to the next
but like,
level.
Like, turning it up to
I,
11. Like,
I can get all that. So what? Where I was, and really, I was willing to hang because I, knowing, watching enough TV, the same problem happened with a lot of shows like this. Like, 30 Rock took a while to get its feet until people left it alone. What was that other big one that Veronica Mars, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like it, once people let it alone, it started to breathe. So, but then that third episode where they go to the planet of the security guard or the third officer, second officer, the from the single sex species.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
they're fighting over whether or not to change the female into a male. And they, I mean, they went into a courtroom. Which is always the death of a narrative, especially three episodes in and we're in a courtroom. That is like, again, he knows TV. He knows that that's like doing a bottle episode two episodes into your series. So I was already like, oh, okay, this is going to be rough. But then, I probably have more conservative views than most of the people making that show, so I understood that I was looking it through a lens, but I really could not understand why our heroes were in the right, stepping into an alien world and telling them what to do with their belief system, and then all of their arguments were emotional based, where the advocate for the homeworld was presenting very grounded, reasonable, and he was courteous. He was pointed. He wasn't like flowery, but he was professional in the courtroom, and he offered contrary points that were grounded in logic. And then the big end of it was when Seth MacFarlane goes, "You need to shut up. You've been a dick all day long." And I was like, I actually turned to my wife. I'm like, "What did the guy do?" I was so confused and thought the heroes are on the side of crazy right now. I don't know what I'm supposed to be feeling. This show just doesn't add up to me. And it must be talking to a group of people or a philosophy that I just can't key into. And it was challenging too, because I was like, I don't want the baby to be destroyed, become a boy if it was born a girl. I agree with all of that, but how you're presenting it to us, I was confused. So I've literally could not. The idea of watching another episode felt like homework, so I couldn't get through with it.
I have a much higher threshold for that kind of stuff, I think, because I like it. That episode was probably my least favorite, although I thought it was funny, because to me, that's what I thought that was the point. The point was the heroes who you, in the Star Trek universe.
Go on.
In the Star Trek universe, like, the people on the ship are supposed to be the ones who are behaving in the right, and then they would usually somehow subtly, but I felt like kind of not necessarily impose, that's not the right word, but subtextually kind of slide across the table their human values, and
yes.
then the alien species would go, and, oh, interesting.
And honest, let's be honest, American white people
right,
values
yeah.
like that.
Those are the only ones that matter.
Okay, as long as you're willing to say it.
but so anyway, and I thought that was the point. The yeah. point was, because I think if I'm not mistaken, maybe not the next episode, but maybe two episodes later, there's an entire civilization
yeah.
that they're trying not to, that Prime Directive
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, they're appealing.
They're trying not to do it. And these two guys, they're there to observe them.
Uh-huh.
And the entire civilization is basically based on, their whole culture revolves around social media.
Mm-hmm.
To where everybody walks around with a green arrow up and a red arrow down.
Which was that episode of Community that did that same
yeah.
premise. Yeah.
So they come through, and if, you know, like, say you, so you stay or do something that someone yeah. doesn't like, they could touch your downvote. And if you break, I think it's 100,000 downvotes, then all of a sudden you, and there's one of the guys does this thing and he starts dancing with a statue, which is some kind yeah. of historic figure, and people start taping it and it goes viral. So he starts getting all these downvotes from his badge. And then he doesn't understand why. And so then instead of a public attorney, they're assigned a publicist. and the publicist takes them on an apology tour of television shows.
Yeah.
And so he goes on there and they kind of prep him. And it's like what happens in our culture with a celebrity who, you know, touches somebody or gets drunk on an evening or something like that.
Or just has their life slightly revealed publicly.
Right. Yeah. But manages to do it to where these people take it very seriously. Like they're just like, and I think he did a very good job of not making it sound so wackadoo crazy. Like, to them, it was very grounded and very real, and there's a lot of merit to it. You know what I mean? That it's like, well, if everybody's accountable, then nobody ever does anything wrong, was kind of the theory, I think.
Well, because you're willing to play Guild Wars tonight at 10, I'll give the next episode. Because the problem with my DNA is that I can't jump into a show in the middle. Like, especially, I have to continue plugging along in order because that was the intention.
So if and this something show happens in, like, season two of this show, and you're like, oh, I'm in. You have to go back and watch everything.
I would have to. Which has happened for every show. When I caught Doctor Who in the middle of since the reboot, like season 4 or 5, and I was like, I'm sold, but I have to start from the beginning since the reboot, which has been painful and been a bit of a slog. But I'm like, I know it's worth it, and I'm willing to marinate in this to understand the entire universe rather than jumping in, because it would always bother me that I didn't know the backstory. It'd be like something just in the peripheral. You can't see it, but I'm dancing my hand just out of my 160-degree field of view. And I'd be like, what is that? And I can't turn and look because I don't know it's there. I like anthologies. I like to know what everything's there.
I know we probably won't have time on this episode, but next week, because I still haven't gotten your take, I want to get Kevin's hot takes on the new Star Trek series.
I haven't watched it yet. I was waiting for them to drop them all, and then I was thinking what most of us are doing, like just going to jump in for a week, binge them, and then disconnect the service. That's kind of my plan right now.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, because I'm not down with spending, you know, the price of an entire box set of DVDs to just watch them and then they disappear.
Wait, is that what happens? It's $9 a month. It's $5.99 a month
if
you want commercials.
$10 if you don't.
$10 if you don't want commercials.
Yeah, but and you don't own them. That's
here's
my
why
point.
I did it. I did it because I'm like, I feel like I like TV like that.
Oh, well,
I like a
go.
TV that I pay $10 a month for and I don't have to pay commercials.
I would like it if there was more content added, but there's nothing on that network except for one show that I would want to watch. So I saw no point.
Because
yeah,
you don't like Big Bang Theory.
I would rather watch that. I would rather them partner with Netflix or something and put it in a channel that already exists. But this is the problem with the future of the lack of net neutrality. So I'm gonna cry on the inside. Just gonna die. No one's gonna hear our show after the net neutrality is destroyed, because everybody's gonna have to.
There's gotta be a way.
No,
I'm sure, we go on the dark web. I've seen lots of episodes of 24 where there's lots of dark
web. That's the thing. Without net neutrality, there is no
what
dark
web.
What
I'll do is I'll stream 24 on my Netflix account, so we can get caught up.
You'll have to spend another $60 to access Netflix, though. That's the.
An extra $60 of what I already spent?
Your ISP will charge you for accessing Netflix.
Specifically to access Netflix.
Even though
Netflix is like, no, we don't want to charge.
Yeah.
Then here's what I think happens then. Yeah. Then Jeff Bezos goes, guess what, guys? Yeah. I've got Internet Prime.
I don't know who Jeff Bezos is.
Jeff Bezos is the CEO of Amazon.
Ah.
And maker of all things good with money.
I hope so. I hope they can fix it. I don't understand how. Sorry, this can't be a political show.
I think he lets everybody else just step in their own stupidity, and then he comes in and goes, "Here, let me show you how to do this."
That would be amazing. If he could solve this problem with a drone, it would make everything better.
It delivers your internet for you.
I'm going to cry.
All right, let's take a quick break. If you want to call in, 877-222-8323. 877-222-8323.
Hello, is it me you're looking for? I can see it in your eyes. I can see it in your smile. You're all I've ever wanted. My arms are open wide. I should know just what to say. And you know. And I want to tell you so much. I love you.
Hello?
That's the best. Oh, good.
Little Lionel Richie.
During the break, I told the chat room to bump up the hearts. There are already 35 more hearts than there were before. So well done, guys.
I don't think that hearts really does anything. So I feel like
it makes me feel good.
Yeah, but I think it increases our liability for somebody suing us for carpal tunnel because they've been clicking hearts on the show.
That was quite that. Well done.
What?
How was that the answer? But it's great.
What do you mean?
That's what you're concerned with. Carpal tunnel from a listener.
I'm equally concerned with their well-being. It's not like
in
it's
the period
just
of the show,
me.
Your comedy has improved dramatically. You've come a long way.
I set the bar very low, so it's easy to jump over that hurdle.
7, 8, 9 carpal tunnel.
Put your hands together. Put your hands together.
It's time to play Stomp.
Oh yeah,
some music there.
Oh.
It's time to play Stump. You still don't have any music there for that part.
I don't
that part.
Have.
It's time to play Stump.
Oh, that's pretty sweet. Yeah.
If you think you can survive Stump, you're wrong. Resistance is futile.
All right, let's see who we got here on the line.
I love Serenity. Such a great show.
All right, you're calling from the 256 area code. Who the hell is this?
256.
This is a sad Alabama boy right now.
Oh, sad Alabama boy who just got. Now, is it every people who don't follow college football? What just happened is Auburn, who is this is also a part of my friend Jimmy Johnson. And my conversation is that
this
I
is, not, is this Jimmy Johnson?
Yeah, this is
oh,
Jimmy
okay,
Johnson.
Oh, okay, got it.
He went to Alabama, so he's a Roll Tide guy. So
Roll
they say,
Tide?
Yes, they say Roll Tide.
Yeah.
My dearest friend Heath.
Yes, Roll Tide Pudding.
Yeah, whatever that was.
I think he said Roll Tide Pudding.
So my dearest friend Heath, he went to Auburn.
Yeah.
And so I told Jimmy that I have a loyalty to Auburn because for so many years, Auburn indirectly helped me pay for my mortgage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
in a very big way.
Very big way. And so they just played each other over the weekend. Mm. Alabama undefeated, 11-0, and an Auburn team. I don't even think ranked. They're not even ranked. Am I right?
Yeah, really upset.
Oh, no, they were number 6 in the playoff ranks, and they're probably going to be in the top 4 now.
So, and Alabama ranked number 1. Is that correct, Jimmy?
Yep, and they just got done slaughtering Georgia, which was also another team that was number 1 2 weeks ago.
And so now the winner of this game between Auburn and Alabama, they go on to play Georgia in the SEC championship, a lot of people will say the SEC is the most competitive division in college football.
And in college, there's multiple number ones. Is that right? Like you could have,
much like in a division, you have these divisions.
And there are several number ones.
And then now what they have is a playoff system towards a national championship,
right,
which is still pretty convoluted and confusing, but I'm not that into it to where
Or less convoluting than the Electoral College?
I would say more.
Probably.
I feel like because,
it's newer.
So, Jimmy, is this always called the Iron Bowl when Auburn and Alabama play towards the end of the year?
Yep, the Iron Bowl.
And so this year, Auburn, they hurt you a little bit. And are you
okay?
A little
bit. Yeah, points.
How many points?
12.
Yeah.
Was this also the same game where a bunch of injuries and a big fight kicked most of the players off the court?
No, you're thinking of Crabtree.
No, that was basketball, related to Alabama.
Yeah.
Alabama had a basketball game on the same day where
the entire
bench got ejected and 2 players were injured. So at the end of the game, the basketball was being literally played 3 versus 5 on the court.
Yeah.
Because they ran out of players.
So some dark cloud was over Alabama. This past week is what we're deciphering.
I think it was a tide that it just
a roll,
a rolling of tides. All right, so we need to have a question.
Oh, I've got our question. Are you ready to play Stump?
Stump. I'm ready.
So, Jimmy, as our guest, you get to decide: are you going to go first or second?
Oh,
and Stump.
Okay, I'm going to go second.
Oh, second. So if Justin gets this right, he wins Stump.
All right.
It was like double dare, but
inverted.
And then
I get to hang up on him, right?
That's right. That's right. And then Jimmy goes away.
All right.
Justin, mm-hmm. No Googling.
Okay.
How many ever titles of Angry Birds have there ever been?
Titles?
How many Angry Bird titles have there ever been? With games, apps with the words Angry Birds
all right.
in the title?
So you got Angry Birds.
So one.
You got, well, I'm going to keep.
You're adding?
Jimmy, I have the power to hang up on you. So choose your laughter wisely. So you got Angry Birds. You got Angry Birds Go, which is the cart game.
Yep.
You got Angry Birds Rio. Mm-hmm. You got Angry Birds Transformers. Yep. You got Angry Birds Star Wars.
Yep.
I feel like you got to have an Angry Birds 2 in there.
Yeah, probably.
Somewhere. I'm trying to think of any other licensed Angry Birds. So I'm going to go, with 6. I'm going to go with 6.
6.
Oh, no.
All right, Jimmy, no Googling. How many Angry Bird titles are there?
I think there's 8.
8?
There's 8.
8. Also, the correct answer, even if you combine your two answers, is not enough.
Really?
There are 16 Angry Bird games in existence.
Do you have a list?
I do. Here we go. Angry Birds, Angry Birds Seasons, Angry Birds Rio, Angry Birds Friends, Angry Birds Space, Angry Birds Star Wars, Angry Birds Star Wars 2, Angry Birds Go, Angry Birds Epic, Angry Birds Transformers, Angry Birds Fight, Angry Birds 2, Angry Birds Action, Angry Birds Blast, Angry Birds Evolution, Angry Birds Match. 16 Angry Birds.
Yeah, but everybody feels like Angry Birds Fight is just Angry Birds Match 1.5. You know what I mean?
Everybody feels that.
Everybody.
You didn't even
that.
List them.
That's
on your
common.
You didn't even. They didn't even make your list.
Them on that list.
What was that, Jimmy?
Was Angry Birds Star Wars 2 the fifth item on that list?
I know it was said.
It was in there. Let's see. One. No, it's about 7 down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, okay. Yeah. Why?
I was going to say it's pretty ironic if you have Star Wars 2 being episode 5 of the series.
But Star Wars 2 was the prequels. Angry Birds Star Wars was the original trilogy, and then Angry Birds Star Wars 2 was the prequels.
Oh, okay.
Am I not wrong? I think I'm right about that because I played about half of these.
Maybe
all right, Jimmy.
You can Google it. It's worth a Google.
You were closest without going over. You may stump us. Do you have a stump?
Oh, okay. Let's
I feel
see.
Like the rules of this game change every,
week. We're experimenting to see what works and what doesn't.
Okay, I've got one.
Okay, all do right. it. Go.
What city in the state of Alabama was the one to receive the college that came from the 1862 Merrill Act?
I didn't understand half of the words in that sentence.
Well, I'm guessing it's going to be a...
No Googling.
I'm not Googling.
Okay, so I'll give you a little history on that. The 1862 Merrill Act was the act that established agricultural and mechanical schools in the United States.
Jimmy, I think there's some there's a little misunderstanding. We're asking questions about fun things. You're asking questions that I should have learned in school, especially if I went to school in Alabama.
Capitals. You asked some capitals a couple weeks ago. Don't hit me with that.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
All right. I'm going to say Birmingham. Final answer.
Yeah, that's a good call because I think that's where Alabama is located.
Yeah, good. Birmingham, am I right?
Nope.
Justin.
All right. Tuscaloosa.
Ooh, that's good.
No, but that was the place where everybody thought it would be.
Everybody's a wizard?
That's where it was supposed to be.
Oh.
Everybody said that it would be, but the entire campus was destroyed during the Civil War, and the grant money could not go to rebuilding things on a campus. So it was originally supposed to
you
go
know
to
a lot of things.
My hometown, but it wound up being in Auburn, Alabama.
Auburn! Oh, we should have known!
Well, I knew I had a 50-50 shot.
That was...
And what I did was I sorely underestimated Jimmy's ability to turn his loyalty, to shove it in my own face.
That was pretty good. That
you know
was...
I mean?
All right, you know...
He's rubbing my nose through Skype in the poo-poo of me not really having loyalty to Auburn for any valid reason. other than my tax bracket.
Do any of us have any valid reason to be a fan of a particular team over another particular team? Unless you have a family member working for one of the franchises, is there really any reason why we choose one team over another?
I think there's something to be said about, like, I went to school there.
Okay.
I think there's something to be said about
college.
That's my home team.
I just don't see why.
I'm with you. I don't have
NFL,
I'm a guy who start off as a Niner fan. Now I live in Los Angeles, and now I'm a Rams fan because of my kids.
But in the NFL, it's not like those players grew up here. It's not like it was 100 years ago where they were local boys, got together, and they're like, yeah, we're going to play ball and then go out to other cities and see who's better. They're recruited from people all over the nation. They have just as much.
I think they were that way even when the NFL started.
Probably. They have less loyalty to the team than the fans do, by far. Because if someone gives them a better contract, they'll change teams, even the biggest names.
But I think that's why it's geographic. I think that that's the thing that frustrates me about Angelinos is that, you know, we get these two teams.
Yeah, that's the whole problem with LA is like we have no teams and now we have two teams. There's no chance for us to have any loyalty at all. Because why? Because it doesn't matter.
No, they'll get there. If the Rams could put together a good solid string of 4 or 5 years of playing well, even the Chargers for that matter, you'll get a lot of people who will jump. I think because right now it frustrates me as a guy who used to be a Niner fan and is now a Rams fan that anytime you watch the game on TV or when you go there live, there sometimes it's equal noise no matter whose offense is on the, on the field. And I'm just like, come on, guys. What are you doing
even
here?
Though the Niners are 1-10 this season?
I know. Well, trust me. I wish it would have taken a little bit longer of me being a Rams fan before they started playing well. But I love Sean McVay. I'm a coach guy. I love Sean McVay. We have the same birthday. He is exactly 7 years and 3 hours younger than me.
Wow. And that's impressive. You know a lot of things.
Oh, he's great. He's great. Sean McVay. I like that he sounds like John Gruden, who's probably my favorite coach of all time.
And is he still commentating?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Jimmy, thank you so much for being on the show. Will you play Guild Wars later tonight?
Yes.
How often are you on? I check our team every now and then and see that you vlog in.
I'll be honest. So a couple weeks ago, I was like, I haven't been lit up Guild Wars in a while. I'm going to do that now. I logged on, and I was like, I have no idea how to control my character. I died, and I was like, well, log off.
I'll give you a tutorial. Do you have the expansions, or do you still have just the core game?
I still just have the core game. I never got, Heart of Thorns?
Yeah, Heart of Thorns or Path of Fire.
Yeah, never got the expansion. I just got the core game.
Do you have a maxed out character, level 80, or are you still hanging out?
I have a 50 Guardian.
Oh, you've got lots to do. We have so much to do, Jimmy. We have so much to do.
Yeah. I said people remind me. You guys wanted me to tell you about Cuphead.
Oh yeah! That's right. We gave you homework.
Thanks for being
on the show.
Thank you, listeners, producing the show better than we ever could.
It's true.
So how many hours would you say you logged? Because it's been 2 weeks now since we could have spoken.
I think it's 3 weeks.
Really?
It's been 3 weeks, yeah.
So how many hours have you logged on Cuphead?
I have logged almost 9 hours, but I will tell you that I have beaten the entire game.
Oh, my gosh.
On normal difficulty.
I thought you were going to say 1 hour, in which case you were going to hear this sound. Click, click.
I was kind of hoping.
No, I enjoyed the platforming and everything about it, but so there's 9 hours. That's what my Steam library says, but you probably give it a multiplier of, like, I don't know, 100, and that's how many hours I lost off the end of my life.
Is Steam not accurate on its counter? Because I've heard some crazy things from other games where they're like, I've logged 20,000 hours in this. That's not humanly possible.
I think the replay value comes in, like, if you want a little bit of an extra challenge. But after you get that extra, like, difficulty setting down, I don't think there's much to return to unless you're just really, really enthusiastic about the art style, which is phenomenal, by the way.
But the Steam counter is accurate to how many hours you've gameplayed, or is there a variance?
Yeah, no, it's accurate.
Oh, okay. So the only reason to replay is because it looks beautiful. How did you beat this game? It is supposed
more,
to be.
If you want more difficulty out of it, you can.
Oh,
it's,
you put it
on. It's got an expert mode that only unlocks on all the stages once you complete it through through normal mode.
Okay, so it gives you something to shoot for.
And Jimmy, if you remember, if I'm remembering correctly, is the guy who, like, I'm going to play Metal Gear Solid on the hardest setting. Like, right out of the box. That's what
and
he
you
likes
died in Guild Wars?
Yeah. it was, I will tell you, I was expecting it to be difficult, but I was expecting it to be difficult in a different manner than it actually was. It was difficult because the patterns that the bosses take are not predictable.
Oh, they're,
they are not predictable. So when you play the boss fight through after dying again, they won't use the moves in the same order.
But they do use the same moves. So you just have to know what you're looking for.
Yeah, you have to know what you're looking for. The animations are telling of what move is coming next, but it may be different entirely based upon where your character is located on the screen, based upon what move the boss decides to make. You can't put in a programmed response to seeing something because
that's exciting. So you're not rehearsing or choreographing a fight.
Where he shoots you, but it may be shooting a bullet in a different direction than it was the time before.
But the stages of the boss fight are in the same order. So as you knock off the robot's head, you know, then the scientist is going to pop out and he has this set of moves, right?
Yeah. You know, the set of moves that is possible, but they will never be executed in the same manner from one try to the next.
Got it. Well, that's very compelling.
So after 9 hours of gameplay, would you recommend it to other listeners of this show to go pick up Cuphead?
I would ask first if you want to make it to your 70s.
Why is that?
What a compelling statement.
I know.
Because it's a frustrating game.
Oh, okay. So 9 hours, but you broke a molar through clenched teeth.
Yes, I did.
I don't want to play this game.
I don't know why, but it made me want to play.
Really?
I find it more frustrating when I find something to be that meets my expectations of what it's supposed to be, but in a different way regarding difficulty.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when I played Metal Gear Solid, like I said, I loved the entire experience of it, except for getting to the final boss fight. I knew it was supposed to be difficult, but it was just difficult in a different manner than I had anticipated. I don't know why that's like.
Are you
my
leaving?
Thing, but it is.
Did you just walk outside? What's happening? Is somebody there? I think the murderer just walked into your room.
Oh, no.
Oh, we lost him. Oh no!
Hello.
there was an audible squeaking door, as if the killer had just entered your shack.
Oh, okay. I think it might have been my chair.
Run, Jimmy! The call is coming from under your ass!
Oh, no.
last question.
If you're going with an oh, no, you have to get the soundbite from Sonic Adventure of Knuckles saying oh, no.
Oh, okay.
Give Justin homework. That's nice. That's only fair. We gave you homework.
Google.
So you, so last question, what do you think of the animation?
The animation is stunning. My dad has been in Europe until the day. We just went to go see Justice League, but I told him, I said, I need you to come over here so I can show you this game, because he's all about like the old timey stuff. Like, I grew up watching Three Stooges and Godzilla and everything pretty much you could think of that predates 1965.
That's awesome.
And he will love it, because one of the cartoons that I used to like to watch as like a 3-year-old, 4-year-old, I also liked the NES game for it, was Felix the Cat. So he will adore this game.
Well, we're going to check it out, and I'm stalling.
No, you don't have to stall.
Okay, good. I thought you were downloading the oh no.
I am. Oh, okay. You don't have to stall.
Oh, okay. Jimmy, thanks so much for being our field reporter for Cuphead. If there's another difficult game, we'll send you out on the road and you can do it again. Like maybe Guild Wars.
Can I make one more?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so the fans of your podcast have put together a server on the program called Discord. If anybody would like to join it, there's going to be a link in the chat room to join it.
And what do you do on Discord, Otel?
It is pretty much an upgraded version of Skype that's designed for gaming. It is less intensive on the system so that it is more appropriate for you to be able to connect online and play with people, not get lag while you're playing, taking up too much bandwidth.
So like a multi-channel Twitch instead of one person playing and everyone watching?
Kind of. You can screen share. You can screen share, you can video call. It basically has all the features that Skype does, but it uses less bandwidth to do so.
Got it. So they watched Silicon Valley and stole that fictional compression rate from Pied Piper and made a better Skype. Oh, goodness.
Oh, no.
That was unsatisfying.
Is that what you were hoping for?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yes, that's what I was hoping for.
Oh, no.
There you go.
Millennials.
A little president.
It's even better.
I don't know that.
That's all that happened. The sound design for Sonic Adventure, Sonic Adventure is a great game. All the nostalgia is there to love it if you've ever played it in the past, but I went back and played it, and it's something else. The sound design is pretty bad. Like, you hit Knuckles, there's no hit sound effect, it's just him, oh no, every time you hit him.
Oh, that's
so if
fun.
You go to discord.ggd/RNDURYU, you can also...
We need a tiny URL for that, please. That is ridiculous. It is 2017.
All right, Jimmy, we're going to go because we got another caller. We're already going long on this segment. Okay, my friend?
Okay.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Take it easy.
All right, bye.
Take it on the caller? Is this happening?
We can. Why not?
Sure. All right,
this better
be entertaining.
Here's the thing. I feel like this second segment is just us calling into the Jimmy and Matt podcast.
Yeah, so it's probably Matt.
570 area code. Who is this?
Oh, you know who it is. Come on now.
Oh, it's Matt. All right, Matt. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate you taking the time, buddy. We'll be back after these messages.
Did you hang up on him?
Hell yeah, I hung up on him. That's the only way to pay off on that bit. Matt gets it. He knows what's up. We'll talk to him in 7 days.
All right. See you then, Matt.
And now it is time for Tales from Tyria with your host, Karina North, Kevin Miller, and Justin Marshall.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I kind of do this voice when I talk like that. No. Don't pay attention to the man
behind the microphone. This is normal. Something the body does when there's an effect on it. Who is ready to learn about the Griffin Egg?
Oh, I want to learn about a Griffin Egg.
So much has happened in Tyria recently. Karina North has been on a quest to unlock the Griffin Mount. As you know, this has been a 2-week-long quest. So you look so confused. We've talked about it.
You're engaged.
Yes. You're there. So, as you recall, at the end
for the first time in this segment, I'm worried about Karina and her well-being.
It's working. The emotional investment is happening. So Karina, if you recall, at the end of defeating Balthazar at the end of Path of Fire main campaign, then began to find scraps of some interesting creature that led her on a quest to find the undead
build like
person.
A hippogriff or something.
That's right. So now we're Karina is about halfway done with this quest of unlocking the Griffin Mount, and she has searched all over the plains of the Elonian Desert, where she's already scoured, completing new missions and searching for individual eggs hiding throughout the place, Easter eggs, if you will, as well as trading for high level relics in order to complete the collection to unlock the egg. Every time she finds a griffin nest, though, with an abandoned egg, it temporarily allows her the ability to use a griffin and fly through the neighborhood until she dismounts and then it goes away. So we get little tastes of what it's like to use the griffin.
So when she gathers all of these eggs, though, she gets to hatch her own griffin.
Yes, once she does all, but it costs 250 gold, which is a lot of gold in the world of Guild Wars. It roughly translates to about $10 of real money if you were to buy it outright. But it has been very rewarding. But here's the most exciting part.
If somebody were to give you a griffin for your birthday,
yeah,
Would that ruin it, though?
You couldn't at this point. You could not. The Griffin can only be unlocked through playing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there are lots of things that you can buy. Legendary weapons, legendary armor.
So Guild Wars gift cards are a thing.
They are absolutely a thing. So the thing that's fun about Guild Wars is they have a dual economy of being able to play for things or buy things within it. And they can transfer between two. So if you're really good at playing, you may never need to buy gems. If you want the stuff that's only available in the gem store, you play and you can convert those over to gems and buy them, or the other way around if you want stuff in the game.
And so there is like an exchange for real dollars and quote unquote Bitcoin
within the game. Back and forth. Oh, but they never convert back to real dollars. There's no way to make them actual cash.
Yeah, that's fair.
World of Warcraft does that, but this game
really
doesn't. Yeah, you can pay to play. You can play to play now on World of Warcraft. So, you know, there's a $15 monthly subscription to play World of Warcraft. If you play enough, you can pay your subscription and continue playing. That's their new thing.
That's very weird and impressive at the same time.
It hurts my brain, too. But here's the exciting thing about Guild Wars 2 is this week, the next chapter of Season 4 begins. So what they do is in between campaigns or expansions, they release free content and their whole new maps with their individual story that advances the lore of Guild Wars with their own rules and things within it, and often include masteries. So it's essentially the beginning of a break. So think of the campaigns as movies and then the seasons as TV series that happen in between. And this is the beginning of the fourth season of Guild Wars.
And when does that break?
That breaks like tomorrow, I think. So we won't be looking for the Griffin because we'll be doing, but next week I'll have new adventures.
In the throes of Season 4.
Yeah, beginning the pilot episode. So
how many episodes in a season?
But anywhere from, I want to say, 6 to maybe 10, maybe 8, somewhere in there. Not a ton. But they come out about once every 6 to 8 weeks. And it's a way of eliminating a content drought. So there's always new stuff going on. And the game is just expansive.
Have you had seasons that disappoint you?
The newer ones are better and better because Season 3 and what looks like Season 4, they're unlocking new maps. So in Season 2, they were just missions that you did. Season 1 was very different. They were events that you can't replay. And I wonder if they'll someday make them replayable. But it actually changed the entire landscape of the game. So things happened after Season 1 that changed maps forever. Now the seasons unlock, they show you brand new areas that you never had access to before on the map. And that's very exciting to explore something new, to meet new creatures and explore new characters within it, and then go back to it whenever you want. So as long as you play within the window of time that is the most recent episode, you have access to that episode forever. But if you don't, then you have to go back and buy those episodes individually if you want to own them.
Wow.
It blows your mind.
What are you what are you most excited about in this season? Do you have any...
So after completing the mission in Path of Fire, we defeated Balthazar, which is... I'll say no more. There are more dragons, and there's more danger to happen. And what's going to happen next after the fallout of what's happened in the past two episodes is the next movement in the game. There's lots to do. Lots to do.
All right. Well, I can't wait for next week.
Oh, me either. I'm going to go home and play it right now. Because here's the thing. Last time we spoke...
Jimmy, though.
Oh, maybe Jimmy. Jimmy and I play all the time. I don't know. We're pretty tight. We're actually going to start our own podcast. It's called From Calabama. California boy in the
California Roll Tide.
Oh, that's delicious. Both of these are great names. So last time we spoke, I was going to upgrade my graphics card, and I was gifted a brand new graphics card. So here's the cool thing is that I was going to purchase an NVIDIA or a GTX 1060, and I was gifted a GTX 980, which is an older model, but is comparable to the 1060 and is free.
Nice.
So the funny thing is, on the way over here tonight, I went to go install it and discovered that my old card is so old that none of my monitors would connect to this new card.
Oh, you have to get a new one.
I have to get new adapters to convert from DVI to HDMI. So I wonder if you had any of those. Otherwise, I've ordered them on Amazon.
No, I don't have any DVI to HDMI.
I went to Fry's before coming over here, and the line was so long. It was wrapped around the thing that I was like, this is why retail is failing, because they...
Well, you win on Cyber Monday.
Cyber Monday applies to cyber.
No, but what I'm saying is that Fry's has to have deals that could compete with Cyber Monday so that to get you into a brick and mortar store.
I suppose that's true. But
they also have a fries.com that you can go buy stuff and then go pick it up in the store, I believe.
I suppose that's true. I am peppered by the fact that I can never get through that line quicker than 30 minutes, no matter when I go. Yeah, they're usually pretty slow at the fries here at Burbank. I'm a little disappointed.
No, I've never had a long line.
What?
Yeah.
When do you go?
3 a.m. Why?
They're not open. Oh, sneaky snake. Yeah. Have you bought any video games recently?
I recently bought Battlefront 2, the Star Wars game.
That was supposed to,
that was supposed to
be very cool.
It was very cool.
Oh, good.
So we were up at the cabin, my parents' cabin. And
oh, you sound so waspy with your cabin.
We were up at the cabin hanging with our family around the giving of thanks. And my redneck heathen brother was going to partake in the Black Friday at Walmart. And Natalie and I were like, well, go ahead, little young man with your handlebar mustache and make your ways and fight with the other lowers. And but anyway,
no, please don't stop this
bit. Oh, boy. Oh, right.
It's hurting your face, isn't it?
While I was sitting there enjoying a fancy fireside bourbon, which I was not really doing because I'm not allowed to drink right now. Oh, it was agony. And so I was there. My brother called and said, guess what? The redneck Disneyland known as Walmart has a sale where you can enjoy Battlefront Deuce for $10 cheaper than your average MSRP. And so I said, well, I believe I would partake in that. But unfortunately, the dear niece, who is the nothing but the apple that has fallen from his redneck tree, did not give the message.
And oh, so, no. This is a good time for the music.
Thankfully, Father is experimenting with making his own beer, and so we were forced to go to a Loez, I believe it is called.
Yeah, uh-huh.
A blue department store for lumber and the like of things for, you know, 40-hour week, middle class. And so we were there purchasing, I believe, what he called drywall and insulation so that we could hang it. And I like to muck up and get, you know, wrist deep in some labor every now and then. But so we did. And he said, well, I needed a jump drive in order to transport the gaming that the boys were enjoying to back to our house here in Los Angeles, land of culture and knowledge. And so I purchased said jump drive from Redneck Disneyland. And as we were there, my father said, well, let's get Battlefront 2 for the children. We're here. And I said, bully, bully. And so we did. We purchased it right then and there. I did not have my wallet, which was very embarrassing. And so I took advantage of this technology where I could essentially text my father $60 U.S., to him.
That was $10 off?
Yes.
Oh, it should be $60. But continue.
I may not understand sales. You know?
I've forgotten who I was doing the show with. That character is charming, and I hope to see him in your act.
Oh, boy. Yes, yes, yes. It was a good time. The boys, they enjoyed it. In fact, we never saw them again for the weekend. It was delightful.
My wife watches Gilmore Girls, and it's like hanging out with somebody from Gilmore.
Really?
Girls. Yeah. It was perfect.
I've never seen that show.
Oh, you're going to love it.
Wait, what?
What do the kids like to do on the Battlefront 2?
So they finished within the weekend, like 2 days.
They finished the campaign?
They finished the campaign.
I need to finish it.
But
they can do that because you know why? Because they don't have to take care of kids.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to pay bills or do things.
Or
I remember
meals even.
Yeah, exactly. You can just sit there and play, and then suddenly it's dinner time.
Yeah.
If I do that, I don't eat.
Yep.
And then I go over to the fridge and I try to eat some ice.
But then there was a time where just on the last day that we were going to be there, I went upstairs and hung out with him and did the it was a cute moment where we did the I said, hey, can I play? Because Jacob had gotten killed. And he said, yeah.
You were doing like the assault mode or something?
It was a campaign thing.
You were doing the campaign and you jumped in.
So I jumped in and then we'd play and so then I died.
Yep.
And then I gave it to him and then Jack came up. So now it was the three of us playing like
that's fun.
Old school kids in the 80s where you pass the controller every time you die, and then I finish the level And they were like, oh my gosh, you're so good, because I'd figured out the controls.
Yeah, sure.
So I was like, oh, and you just don't stand while you're getting shot with laser blasters. It's pretty basic.
It's 101 gaming. And, I've heard that before.
So anyway, so I played through, and then when I got to the cutscene, I gave it to Jacob, and he's like, why are you giving it to me? I said, because it's your turn. He goes, but you didn't die. I said, yeah, but I finished the mission. That's what you do. So you, when you finish.
But you guys used to do this all the time. When you played Ratchet and Clank, you did this exact same thing.
Yeah, but he was very young.
Was that a long time ago?
Yeah, that was, I think, too long ago. And but
that
anyway,
was back when it was just Clank.
Yeah.
Before Ratchet joined.
Ratchet, he was still, he was a member of the Backstreet Boys. I don't know why I thought that was funny in my head, but that's what I said.
We're old.
So... and that's why it was funny, because I didn't think of that part. So anyway, so yeah, and it's a good game. I played a little bit of like an X-Wing fighting thing, yep. And I haven't. So I was a little disappointed that they played through the campaign. I was hoping there would be like a campaign where they could unlock each of the heroes. They unlocked, no. I think, Kylo Ren, but I don't think they could play as him yet.
Only in the assault mode. Yeah, so as you play the assault mode, if you've unlocked a character, if you earn enough battle points in that level, then you can access characters you've unlocked.
And see, and as we talked about on the last episode, there was all this news about how there was an upheaval from fans.
It was going to cost 60,000 credits, yeah, and now it costs 15.
And then I read an article that they were like, they completely let it go. Like, they're just like, no, nothing.
Yeah, they're still, most of them are still 15, and then there are others. But what they've let go is all the DLC. So that's now free.
But the other part that I was thinking of is that, so at the cabin, the internet is muy no bueno.
Yeah.
And it's what we go to unplug. And so I was like, wait, if I buy this game, is it going to look like it needs 75,000 credits until they download a patch?
Oh, interesting.
You know what I mean? Because that was something that was decided after the rollout.
And?
So I don't know, because
I've
been gone all day today. They were here. They didn't get back until like probably 4 or 5. I got here an hour beforehand yesterday. We watched the Rams game as a family. At dinner, everybody went to bed, and then I've been at work all day today.
Got it. Well, it's funny because I was sold on not buying it. So not sold on it? I don't know what it is. Based on all the controversy. And just sort of, the truth is, if you go back and listen, I was not impressed with the first Battlefront for very similar reasons.
Yeah.
Where they forced players to buy star cards to be competitive within it. But no one seemed to be annoyed at that. And I kind of feel like we collectively were like, fine, I guess, because it had been so long since we've had a Battlefront game, and we were all very excited for it, so we kind of took it on the chin. And I think we collectively as a community, they doubled down on that, and we were tired of it. That's what I've kind of assessed from the culture and reading the tweeters. And so what I think has happened now is that we fought back, and so the game is a much better game because it's actually cost less than what it was before. It includes more material. But really what sold me on it is that a buddy of mine, I have not finished the campaign, so I don't know what this is, you do, said that Disney has affirmed that everything that happens in the campaign is canon to the movie.
It is.
And that there are some reveals in there, yes, that are important for the upcoming film. So I was like, well, then I've got to do that. Now, if you don't play the game...
Oh, I didn't see anything for the upcoming.
He said that there was some stuff. I haven't seen it yet. So if it sounded like... what I've really gotten to enjoy out of it, without even getting to anything that's expanded my understanding of it, is it does a good job of stitching together the original trilogy to the new trilogy. Because... or double trilogy, because there was always a question at the beginning of A Force Awakens of why are there still TIE fighters? Didn't we win this war? But we all kind of went, I don't want them to go away.
Right.
But I don't know why they're still, they have different names and things kind of reset, and we all kind of got it, like, because they were clearly, something didn't die. So this is doing a great job of like walking through that transition within those 30 years. And that's okay, because what J.J. Abrams did in that movie is leave a lot of backstory that we kind of needed. Like, we've been gone for 30 years. We don't get to know what's happened for 30 years. And I'm enjoying the reveal. Being able to play through it in a game is phenomenal. Yeah. Being able to enjoy it that way. My critique of the campaign is the levels fall flat. Mm-hmm. You play through them, and there's a level early on where you get to play as Luke, and it's fantastic. And then you're beating up bugs, and you're beating up bugs for way too long. And there's no, like, king bug that comes out even to end that. You beat up bugs, and then you're not beating up bugs.
See, and that's always been my complaint about Battlefront, is that if you take away the fact that it's in the Star Wars universe, it is a no game.
There's no game.
And they get so much leash whenever you put together a Star Wars game. Like, even that it got lambasted is The Force Unleashed. I loved it. I love that game.
The Force Unleashed is a phenomenal game. The second one is all right. There are a lot.
I loved them both.
That second one.
I stand by it.
There are some, talk about no game without the Star Wars title.
Oh, yeah.
There are levels in that it's the exact same room again and again and again and again.
And I fully acknowledge, but then I'm saying I love that game because it's a great Star Wars game in my mind.
But the first game is a great game. Mm-hmm. Force Unleashed 1 is a solid game.
Yeah, good point.
Through there. But it hits both cylinders. Battlefront, I think that's a really good understanding of the game. If you remove the fact that they're stormtroopers, if you made it some unknown IP, people would be...
If that was Call of Duty, it would be Call of Hootie?
Yeah, because you've got four classes, you've got three weapons.
Show up.
That's still an IP. To be fair, there are people that would buy that.
What would you rather...
He's a big country star now, so...
Right. What would you rather have as an unlockable? Admiral Akbar or Darius Rucker?
Oh.
If you could get... Hootie,
how much does it cost? What
if you could get a guy who's saying, Tom, why you punish me? Like a friend. I don't know the song.
I'm gonna go with him
to say, it's a trap.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Admiral Akbar, mainly because they have very similar eyes, and I think I just want to go with the guy I know.
Mm. Both have strange goatees, I think, too.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And giant Muppet mouths. Oh, blah, 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 blah. At the top.
I only want to be with you.
Oh, can we have Hootie play us out?
Oh, that's going to take too long. Maybe we do Hootie.
Okay, that's fine.
What?
I'll tell you next time about why cartoon characters wear gloves. I learned that after researching Cuphead and some other things.
Am I ruining it? We could talk about it.
No, it's not important. No one cares. Right. Find out next time why cartoon characters wear gloves. Ooh. Like Knuckles, like Cuphead, like Mickey Mouse.
Oh, no.
They all wear gloves.
All right, that was our show. You can send us an email to show@gamerlandpodcast.com. All of our social media handles are in the description of this episode. Kevin at Unlockable Man. We have Gamerland Pod is
Twitch,
basically...
same thing, Unlockable Man.
Oh, that's right. How's that going with your Twitch?
Oh, it's been a lot of fun.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I've had some people kind of help me understand that the point of it is to hang out. This is where we host a show. Twitch is where we just hang out and play games. And I need to do it sometime soon. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
All right, listen, I'm down. But eventually we could even mount a Twitch and we could Twitch this if you want.
Oh, yeah.
Twitch that. All of that is our awesome. So on behalf of Kevin Miller, just this.
Okay, bye.
Is Justin Worship saying, okay, bye.
That was very good.